From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that passage often called Faith's Hall of Fame. The text for this message is verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Having brought Israel safely through the Jordan, God now sets before them the city which was the most heavily fortified in all the ancient world. As if that were not daunting enough, the Lord gave them a command which seemed to make absolutely no sense militarily. They were to march around Jericho each day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day. Then they were to shout, and God said the walls would fall down. And so they did. From this historical narrative, Dr. Cairns draws some important spiritual truths for God's people in this day, for we all have our Jerichos. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, Sin's Strongholds Fall Before Faith. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. Thy Redeemer. Jesus the Redeemer is altogether ours, and ours forever. All the offices of Christ are held on our behalf. He is King for us, Priest for us, and Prophet for us. Whenever we read a new title of the Redeemer, let us appropriate Him as ours under that name as much as under any other. The shepherd's staff, the father's rod, the captain's sword, the priest's mitre, the prince's scepter, the prophet's mantle, all are ours. Jesus hath no dignity which He will not employ for our exaltation, and no prerogative which He will not exercise for our defense. His fullness of Godhead is our unfailing, inexhaustible treasure house. His manhood also, which He took upon Him for us, is ours in all its perfection. To us our gracious Lord communicates the spotless virtue of a stainless character. To us He gives the meritorious efficacy of a devoted life. On us He bestows the reward procured by obedient submission and incessant service. He makes the unsullied garment of His life our covering beauty, the glittering virtues of His character our ornaments and jewels, and the superhuman meekness of His death our boast and glory. He bequeaths us His manger, from which to learn how God came down to man, and His cross, to teach us how man may go up to God. All His thoughts, emotions, actions, utterances, miracles, and intercessions were for us. He trod the road of sorrow on our behalf, and hath made over to us as His heavenly legacy the full results of all the labors of His life. He is now as much ours as heretofore, and He blushes not to acknowledge Himself our Lord Jesus Christ, though He is the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ everywhere and every way is our Christ, forever and ever most richly to enjoy. O my soul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, call Him this morning thy Redeemer.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer, thanks for all Thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory, thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, cheerful springtime, thanks for summer, winter, fall. For tears by now forgotten, thanks. peace within my soul.
Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
We're turning this morning in our Bibles to the book of Joshua at verse 13 of chapter 5, reading into chapter 6. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Finishing the reading at verse 5 of chapter 6, and the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning we return to the series of messages in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're reaching near the end of that chapter now. But we come today to the 30th verse of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. The fall of Jericho was unique. Even in all the other battles that the children of Israel were called upon to fight, even in those times when they were very much aware of the presence of the Lord, His guidance, His specific commands and interventions on their behalf, even on occasions when they were to enjoy the greatest of heavenly power to give them victory, the Lord never again did a miracle quite like this one. There never was another occasion when the children of Israel stood before the walls of a great city and saw the walls fall flat before them. Now, of course, the Lord accomplished the same end on many other occasions, namely the defeat of His adversaries and the victory of His people. But He did so by entirely different means. Now, that's something we would always do well to remember. And yet I feel that it's something, simple as it is, that we are very prone to overlook. The Lord is not tied to any one particular set of means. I think in the church we would always do ourselves a favor were we to keep in mind that the God of heaven is the God of variety. We were, as I told you a couple of weeks back, driving through a blizzard, and as we drove we had to think of something other than the appalling road conditions and the even more appalling driving habits of the lunatics around about us. We were the only wise people on the road. And as we did so, we talked about the fact that or mention the fact that when you look at all those countless billions of snowflakes, not two are identical. That really does boggle the brain. When you look at God's creation, and I think as creationists we would do well to keep this in mind and not try in some way to downplay it as if it was part of the armory of the evolutionist. In God's creation, there is an endless supply of variety. You find the same in the church. It's sad when young preachers set out to model themselves on older preachers and try to preach the same way. I remember back in Northern Ireland, we had a young fellow. He was not so young that he should have been so daft, but we had this young fellow who felt that the Lord was using Ian Paisley in a great way, and he was. Hundreds and hundreds of people were being saved. Crowds were coming to hear him preach. So this young fellow thought, well, if I preach like Ian Paisley, I'll have the same results. When Dr. Paisley comes into the pulpit, doesn't matter where he is, in his own pulpit or any other pulpit, first thing is he always kneels at the pew. Not many preachers do that. I trust they all pray when they come into the pulpit, but he always kneels when he comes into the pulpit. Some preachers have particular habits. I knew another preacher. When he went to visit in a hospital, he always kneeled by the side of the hospital bed. And I can tell you, if the person wasn't saved or was rather timid about confessing Christ, they hated to see that old preacher coming into a ward. Over there, you'd have maybe 30 people in that ward in those days, so he would have come in. Dr. Paisley kneels at the pulpit pew. This young fellow decided, that's the secret, I'll do that. For a while, the moderator felt he was getting too hot when he was preaching, and a lot of people felt at times he was getting fairly hot. And so he would take off the woolen, the black woolen, a Barathea cloth coat that he wore. If you don't know what Barathea is, then I can tell you it's a mighty heavy and long wearing and sweat causing material. And so Dr. Paisley, before he preached it, would lay off the black coat and he would put on a very light, unlined linen jacket and preach in that. Next thing we saw with the young fellow was he had a light white linen jacket that he changed in the middle. Of course, he never preached enough to work up a sweat anyway. And I thought, you know, how absolutely crazy it is to get it into your head that here is a man who does certain things and God uses him, that therefore if I simply ape the same things, God will use me too. It doesn't work that way. Never has, and it never will. We do well to remember in the church that God needs all kinds of people with all kinds of abilities. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, all kinds of lack of abilities. He doesn't only use the learned. He doesn't only use those that the world would take to be greatly gifted. He takes all of his people. And the key in the situation is not the means, but it is the God who employs those means and the power of the Spirit in that employment. That's the thing that really matters. We would do well to remember it. The result of that, of course, is that the old devil never knows what to expect. There's nothing new under the sun as far as man's dealings are concerned. He runs to an end of his inventiveness. As far as the devil's actions are concerned, he quickly reaches the end of his inventiveness. You can always expect what the devil's going to do. But the devil can never plan on what the Lord is going to do. There's a great comfort in that. And a great lesson. We are too prone, I think, to worship the extraordinary means and miss the real miracle. We would do well just to remember Jericho and the fall of the walls only happened once. But though it was unique, the fundamental lessons for the people of God in all ages remain the same, valid and urgent, and they certainly are for us today. You see, we all have our Jerichos. You're going to come to Jericho's walls. If you haven't come to them already, you're going to come to them very, very quickly in your Christian experience. In many ways, our Jerichos make that particular Jericho that Joshua faced, that ancient fortified city, they make those walls seem like nothing. Because our Jericho is really the conquest first of our own internal corruptions by the power of grace. And on a wider scale, Jericho for us today is the conquest of this world by Christ and His gospel. We certainly, like Joshua, face the walls of a mighty Jericho. And like Joshua, we can only overcome by faith. In his case, if you read Joshua chapter 6 carefully, you will see that faith walked, faith waited, and faith warred according to the word of God. And in simple reliance on God's promise, and in total obedience to God's command. That's the way it must be with us. As you look at this text and the story behind it, there's one fact that stands out, and we will underline it today. I trust it will be a comfort and a help and an encouragement to God's people. Sin's strongholds fall before faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.